Hare Krishna. So, some questions. One from Narahari Das at the Bhaktivinoda Manor. Should devotees take part in bearing the torch, going from town to town during the upcoming Olympics in London? If the local the management says so, then yes, why not? Certainly an opportunity to be seen and to participate. Another question from Haladar Das, who asks a question that I, similar question to what I answered a little while ago about what foods to eat on Ekadasi. He says, some devotees say that honey is not suitable, sesame is not suitable, certain vegetables and spices are not suitable for Ekadasi. As mentioned earlier, there are different ways of observing Ekadasi, different extent. One is from complete dry fast to staying up all night the next night, and on Dwadasi drinking only milk, and on the Dashami only preparing oneself and only eating once. And that's following Ekadasi. And then the other one is what Srila Prabhupada had also taught us, which is if you just fast from grains, bas. If we follow Srila Prabhupada's formula, certainly we're not doing anything wrong. If individuals want to follow another version, that's certainly certainly their prerogative, and it's certainly a good thing. However, one person should not force it on another, but rather we should just recognize that different devotees, as long as they do follow Ekadasi in a authorized way, then they're authorized. Dinasharna Das, he's asking about how symptoms like on Krishna's body or Krishna's associates, eternal associates, how they can display symptoms like bruises, cuts, wounds, blood, as we read in different pastimes. For instance, read about how Krishna's on the battlefield and he's sustaining all of these injuries, especially from Bhishma Dev's onslaught. There's no reason why not. Krishna's body is Satchitananda, as his associates' bodies are Satchitananda, and the bruises and the cuts and the blood that they show is also Satchitananda, as opposed to being what our bodies display. And they display these because it's part of their lila, it's part of their pastime. And being part of that pastime, particularly human-like pastime, they also manifest these qualities, must manifest these traits and these symptoms, but what they manifest is purely transcendental, purely spiritual. Now, Bhakta Nicholas asks, is there a book about when Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Vivishwan? I don't know of any. There may be some Puranic history, but I'm not particularly aware of them. Was it sung on the sun planet? Well, when I think of it, and when I hear it from Srila Prabhupada, that's the sense that I get. Although it could be somewhere else, maybe if someone knows of some type of other historical reference that clarifies up that point, they could let us know. I've heard from Srila Prabhupada, not me, but Nicholas is saying that Jesus Christ is the son of Vivishwan. I've never heard such a thing before. I doubt that Srila Prabhupada ever said it. And he says, how did he get from the sun planet to here? Well, considering that Prabhupada didn't say that, or at least I'd like to see the evidence that he did say it, I doubt that that is a question. But even if it was, the problem of living entities traveling from one planet to another is not a problem. It happens in one of two ways. Either they're coming in their same bodies because they're empowered persons like that. Like, for instance, Brahma travels from one planet to another, or other exalted personalities like Lord Shiva, or because he it's the body that travels, but it's the soul, along with the subtle body, that's traveling, and at every different place one takes on a different body. Like Krishna tells Arjuna, Bhavanimi Vatitani Jananita Vacharvana Tani Ambhita Sarvani Datambhita. He says, you're changing bodies all the time, so you can't remember your past bodies, but I don't change, therefore I can remember. Abhishek Joshi says, is it right to make up melodies ourselves based on well-known tunes? Hare Krishna. Well, having done it myself, I can't say no. So I say yes. On the other hand, I have to admit that my experience is mixed. Sometimes after singing a tune, I don't feel comfortable that the Maha Mantra is being properly represented. The tune may feel too rajasic or too tamasic, and therefore I drop it. I don't do it and feel like the right type of tune to sing. From that perspective, when in doubt, then don't do without and don't do it. What do we know as being a bona fide tune? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That we know is a bona fide tune. There are also other authorized tunes that are part of Vaishnava tradition. On the other hand, there's a lot of tunes that we sing, that we come from Vrindavan, that are sung by others, that aren't necessarily, they're not unauthorized, but they don't go back to some kind of Vaishnava lineage or tradition. I know a couple of songs that I thought were Vrindavan tunes were then told to me that they were actually melodies that came from well-known Indian movies. But the basis for being able to compose tunes, and I know devotees who compose tunes as well, not just adapt them, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own statement, there's no hard and fast rule. So that's the general principle. There's no hard and fast rule. The important thing is chant Hare Krishna. However, if we're in doubt, then chant those that you know are from authorized sources, or those that are generally chanted by Vaishnavas of repute and good standing. Gaura asks a question, and he says that I've always thought that the age of Kali Yuga, excuse me, the golden age in Kali Yuga started during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent and continues for 10,000 years. But just recently someone was telling me that in the Bhavishya Purana that it starts with Krishna's disappearance, so that already 5,000 years are gone. So which of the two, which version is true? Interestingly, I just came across that quote some while ago, and I think I also mentioned it. But it's not black and white. From that translation, at least, that I have, that it's from Krishna's disappearance that the 5,000 years is counted. And the reason for that is that there's some contradictory information in it. It says that as long as the Ganges flows, as long as Tulsi Devi is worshipped, as long as the Puranas are being recited for the period of 10,000 years, then Kali Yuga will not have its full effect. After that, it will take its full effect. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, the Ganges will stop flowing after 5,000 years. So if we take the calculation from Krishna's time, the Ganges shouldn't be flowing at the present time, but obviously it is, and it doesn't look like it's about to dry up in the immediate near future. So it requires a interpretation. It's not something that we can understand, and Therefore, we take the obvious explanation that we've heard from our acharyas, and generally, as far as I know, Prabhupada explained it like that, that it was from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time is where the counting takes place. And that should be then our understanding of the Bhavishya Purana, whatever we think that Bhavishya Purana says. And another argument of logic to support Srila Prabhupada's stance, not that Prabhupada's stance needs logic to support it, is that the first 5,000 years of this age are generally known as a sandhya, or a transition period, a junction between this age and the previous age. So in a strict sense, this age actually starts after 5,000 years. In other words, that's when it is really Kali Yuga, whereas prior to that, it's been the junction of the previous age and Kali Yuga. Certainly, I would go with the commonly understood understanding to date, and not accept any type of new variation or any new idea. And that's here's Raja Kumar. That was right. That was the last question. He says, a senior devotee said, after practicing Krishna consciousness for many years, I have not developed love for the human race. So he's asking, is he a very advanced devotee, or is he a Kinishadikari? Well, Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, Jivadoya Krishna Nam, that by chanting offenselessly, one naturally develops compassion for all living entities, love for all living entities, sorrow for their plight. And if we do that, that means if we do chant Hare Krishna properly, then that should be our natural feeling, in the same way that our feeling and affection for Krishna should naturally awaken. And of course, when your affection for Krishna awakens, then your love for other living entities also naturally awakens, because the two are interconnected. If you love Krishna, you automatically love others. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.